So realistically, like, it could be a tough first 10 weeks, but by the last 10 weeks, like, we could be winning every game. And
I'm the One-Eyed Giant, and you're listening to Never Surrender by The Squinters.
Some people run from a possible fight. Some people figure they can never win. And although this is a fight I can lose, the accused is an innocent man.
But I don't think that's a suspendable action personally, and it is one of my players, so of course I'm going to defend them. But I mean, that's a step in front and block.
An innocent man, holiest I am, an innocent man.
Well, so we haven't had a finals builder, a proper finals builder for a proper long time, certainly not last year. And then maybe was it the year before when it was the one-pointer at the Swans in Hobart? Or was that COVID? Who knows? It, like
2020.
Yeah, time telescopes when you're doing a podcast about football. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Never Surrender by the Squinters. My name is Needles. I am one of your hosts. I am coming through in avatar shape today, which it's not a cow. It's a gay safari tour guide, which is fine. I don't mind it. That's the best I can do because my computer's buggered. So if you hear my colleagues start laughing when I say something serious and important, that's not because they're laughing. They're not trolling me. It's just because they're not professional and can't control themselves. But I'm going to introduce two regular colleagues and then one special colleague. Sparrow, g'day, mate. How are you?
G'day, Needles. I'm very good, and I'm pumped to be here, bolted on Squinter as I am.
Yeah, absolutely. Only five more days. Are you very, 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 very excited for 3:20 p.m. on Saturday?
Very, very, very excited, mate. Cannot wait. It's been a long bye weekend, but ready to rumble.
And then the other regular colleague who, newsflash this afternoon on the WhatsApp, we found has decided he's fucking Tasmanian. So he's a Tasmanian Viking bard / golf course designer from South Australia who used to go for Richmond, now goes for the Giants. I mean, talk about a narrative. G'day, Ragnar. How are you, mate? I know it's late, and thank you for being here. You're doing really well.
Yeah, good, mate. Good, mate. Just pumped for this week and can't wait to get stuck in.
That's very good. And so this is the special guest. He has been on a lot of pods. He's the public voice of all the Giants content. He is one of the only sort of celebrities who wears their Giant supporter beanie like loudly and pushes it and leans in. I was going to call him by his proper name, but that would go against the grain. So it's the One-Eyed Giant himself. I don't know where you're calling from, man. You have got the Giants hat on. Are we going to say Western Sydney just sort of to suit the story?
Yeah, let's go with inner Western Sydney.
Going from Western Sydney, sure. It's the One-Eyed Giant. How are you?
I'm very well. Very happy to be here. You know, long-time listener, first-time caller, innerer. You do look like an offensive Chris Lilley character, your little thing going on there. There's a fair bit going on.
I'm not very good with computers. I try to go with what I could do. I'm much prettier in real life, yeah, what you can see on the computer, just ask.
They're good eyebrows. Camera.
Thank you. Yeah, well, I have got eyebrows. That's a problem. mate, we'll call you the OEG, not the BFG. But do you want to? People might have already recognised your voice. If not, you know, go and do a little bit of work. Do you? You have got, because I've listened to you for ages on pods, and you did a much better than Will Anderson replacement on. With Charlie Clawson, you're way better than Will when you're sort of right.
Not about that.
At Clawson, you were a bit of a Giants refugee. Before we move on to issues of the week, you've got a bit of a you've come from another team. You didn't come from another team. You just found footy and found the Giants. Am I right? Or am I wrong?
Well, I grew up in WA, so I did have another team. I was a Richmond supporter. I went for a big, you know,
right.
Another one.
Yeah. Similar story. Very similar story. But I moved to Sydney when I graduated drama school in 2011, the year that the Giants, you know, started. And I'd never seen the Richmond play live. I just picked a jumper when I was a kid. So I went, I loved the AFL though. So I was like, I'm moving to Sydney. There's a new team starting. I was just all in from the start, you know, when you could suggest what you wanted them to be called and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. What did you say?
I went for the Western Sydney Wagtails, which is like a little annoying bird, which I thought was like a really cool, like, oh yeah, we might not be big and tough, but we'll, you know, pester around and pick up seats and stuff. I don't know what I was thinking at the time.
Mine was the Western Legion, like the Roman army, like a legion. They're like a legion of supporters. There's 4 million people. It's just the Western Legion. You could have some guy with a big horsehair helmet, like stomping around. That'd be but it didn't catch.
I heard the story of what actually happened. It was that they had the Giants set and they knew that that's what they wanted, but they set out the competition and, you know, kind of was like just waiting for someone to send in the Giants, but no one did for ages. And so eventually some kid was like Giants and they just jumped on and they're like, you're the winner. That's what we're going with.
And it's behind the marketing curtain. Mm.
A bit like our competitions.
So yours is very much a story of you can't fight fate effectively. Like it's just all there laid out on the plate for you and there they are.
Yeah, pretty much. And then I was just going to the games, you know, I got my membership and then I was just going to the games, watching us get flogged, but enjoying it and kind of meeting people. And, you know, I got a gig and then a corresponding kind of blue tick on Twitter, which at the time was Spun Gold, and just started tweeting. Yeah, exactly. And I just started tweeting kind of incessant, annoying things. But I guess I was the only one, you know, tweeting for a while there. So they sort of picked up on it and sort of, you know, reached out and whatnot. So it was good. It was a nice little kind of natural progression.
It's a little bit like, because it's a niche, it's still a niche kind of brand.
It's very niche. Yeah.
To support boutique maybe. But we get people who are obviously going, oh, for fuck's sake, Fremantle playing the Giants. There is a podcast that talks about the Giants. When we get some random email, go, hey, do you want to talk about the Giants? Because we don't fucking know who the Giants are. And suddenly, like 5 or 6 pods have reached out to us saying, what, do you go for the Giants? Yeah. Or can you talk about them?
Really?
Yeah, sure.
yeah.
That's what
we'll do. We'll be that person for you.
I get a few sort of invites and whatnot, but it's one of those things where I go like, I know that I go on a lot of podcasts and went on 2 Guys 1 Cup and stuff like that, but it does get to the point where I'm going like, I can't be the only one out there going to do all these pods. Someone else is going to pick up some
voice podding into the darkness.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, look, you can't be. Oh, I know for fact, Chris, the Minister for Climate Change, Bowen Arrow, he doesn't podcast much, but he should be more of a celebrity fan, but apparently he's got too much shit to do in cabinet. Mitchell Stark. He's a bit high profile guy. Which Pat Cummins coming from sort of the Blue Mountains, but now apparently he's a Swans fan.
Yeah, I've seen a few kind of high profile. The War Twins, I sort of famously in that. Yeah, in that COVID year, I'm not sure if you saw it, but I got in to one of those games that they could only let sort of 200 to 300 people into. And as I was sort of going in, Dave Matthews walked past and, you know, I've gotten to know him over time. And he was like, oh, come and sit up with us. And I was like, okay, great. Anyway, so get on the balcony and we're only allowed to seat, you know, 4 seats away from everyone. But, of course, Steve Waugh is sort of like 3 rows in front of me. Oh, and it was a really close game. And I was wearing a beanie and I started just like ripping in. And yelling and screaming and throwing my arms out. And I just ended up getting all these texts because apparently we're on the broadcast and someone was sort of saying, the commentator, like, they got to get rid of that guy behind Steve Waugh. He was the Australian captain, blah, blah, blah. And this yobbo's yelling his ear off the whole time. So Yeah, it's been. I've met a few people, but the issue
with Steve Ward is if anyone, he'd be very good for 2, maybe 3 minutes of content max. I reckon you wouldn't get a lot of words out of him. Yeah. So, I mean, if you are the lone voice, man, you be our guy, right? You just, if you've got time to do it, you do it, because like any port in a storm, and it's making a difference.
Absolutely.
Let's hope so. Well, I like to think the one-eyed giant has a little bit of cut through, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, some of those videos have been elite in terms of
absolutely. Can I ask a question, Needles?
Yeah,
I'm interested in the genesis.
Thanks for asking for permission.
Well, I just couldn't get a word in. But the genesis of the one-eyed giant, the first one you ever did. Can you remember which game it was?
I remember when
and how did it actually happen? Did you Did you write it and go, guys, you got to put some video to this because this is fucking funny?
No, so I do. I'm an actor, and then I do my sort of second job / career is as a voiceover artist, right? So that's kind of what I do. And I was doing a wrap up kind of show with a really energetic voice for NBA, like NBA, NBL sort of stuff. And it was kind of, it wasn't similar to the one-eyed giant. It was sort of very kind of lo-fi and basic, and it was kind of cool. But Lee, who was the head of comms, he was like, oh, you know, do you reckon we could do a kind of more energetic version of that, you know, for the Giants? And I was like, well, after a win, and he sort of said, yeah, why don't we give that a go? And he sort of said, I said, well, can I write it? You know, and so I'll write it, voice it, and then I'll send it to you guys and you guys can edit it. And so we did one and it blew up. And I think Fox Footy took it and put it on theirs and everything like that. And then they just kind of, and then I think we made finals. And so it was just kind of like, it just kind of kept going. But it was in the sort of last three rounds of that season. And then they've just sort of picked it up and kept it going. Have like a post-win sugar hit, but also have all these obscure jokes that if you've been watching for
I'm really disappointed. I just hoped you were the voice, like good voice, say it really well. You got fed the words and whoever they're writing, but you write it as well.
Oh, yeah. I write it. So basically,
God damn.
That's so
yeah. Mr. Ragnar is talented person shit list.
You got some That's talent on
funny.
The pod
You're
tonight.
A very funny person.
Oh, no, I enjoy it, you know. Like I finish watching the game. I usually have a few beers, and then okay, it's kind of came from all the banter that me and my mates have while we're watching the game. And then you know we would come home from the game, and then I'd watch the game again, and then write it all down, and you know spend all night on YouTube looking up kind of obscure connections that I can kind of somehow fit into this weird thing, and kind of some of them I'm just kind of gone. No one's getting that. My girlfriend.
Doesn't matter.
Like, don't put that in. That's stupid. I'm going, nah, put it in.
It'll work.
Someone out there.
Go with your heart. Go with your heart.
Exactly.
Right. Well, fair play. Outstanding. Keep going. And welcome once again. We've got a little bit of we didn't have used to have a structure. I was, let's just talk and we'll do a bit of stuff. And then Sparrow's come in and
that is a lie. You started.
Sparrow liked rules.
Very solid. 2019, we had a very solid structure. We then went into the wilderness last year before, and it was basically me and Needles just calling each other, having a catch up. And Rags came back involved, and we thought, no, let's get
Ragnar emailed us into submission. but we have a process. We've got a process now, like performers, right? We have a process, and what we do is we have a first quarter issues of the week. So we just talk about what's ever on our mind. We don't. We talk about what we think is important or what's happened in the past week. And you might not have listened to our last episode, mate, but feel free to go back. It's an hour worth of just absolute cracking.
No idea. I do listen to you guys.
Sparrow spent the last 23 weeks, give or take, gaslighting himself about the fact that Sam Taylor said something about, oh, yeah, after 10 weeks, we'll probably be shit. And then 10 weeks in, it'll all just click and we'll be good as gold. And we all said, oh, yeah, that's fine. And we believed him because we thought we'd heard it too. And then we created our own, like, it's how religion starts. Suddenly just people say something, you go, well, that makes sense. And then, but we couldn't find the evidence. And Sparrow spent, presumably, hours looking for the quote.
I dive really, really deep into the interwebs to get this.
And?
It has been found.
Just tell us why you genuinely think there can be improvement inside the playing list and what are the expectations with the new coach?
Well, obviously we got a new, what is it, strategy, game plan moving forward. So realistically, like, it could be a tough first 10 weeks, but by the last 10 weeks, like, we could be winning every game. And like I said before, like, players like Tom Green, he could be a Brownlow medalist in a few years. Finn Callahan, who's probably one of the rising stars, or he's a special player. Like, I haven't seen, like, two people dominate a preseason like those two. And, like, they could be potentially, I don't want to hype them up too much, but they could be potentially like an Oliver Petrarca sort of duo. Mm. And then you obviously have class players like Toby Green, Jesse Hogan. And we have an experienced backline now. So once we get things to click, I think we could be a really strong team this year. And, yeah, there's plenty of energy and the new coaches have brought things with them and their stories and experience. So I'm sort of sick of pre-season. I just want to start playing and getting into it. But I'm confident.
So 23 weeks gaslighting yourself. What is validation? Question your own narrative. What does validation feel like? And also, is Sam Taylor some kind of Nostradamus kid?
I went into some dark corners. Went into some really dark corners of the recesses of my mind, gaslighting myself there. And how it feels is validation, needles, validation. Mm. I knew it existed. And I went digging and digging. And, yeah, octopus, as I think the one-eyed giant has termed Sammy Taylor, Slammin' Taylor, octopus did make that prophecy earlier in the year. And yeah, he said, look, we're going to struggle for the first half of the season and then we're going to come home with a full sail and possibly win the last 10 games. And he was close, very close. But I just want to give a shout out to John and son who listens every week, son Luke. John wrote in. One of the best emails I think we've ever had, Needles.
So you said, you said the best email I think we've ever had. And I immediately looked to see any reacts from Ragnar, who's written us a cool 10,000 words over two emails. You know, and he'd want to think they've been pretty good emails. But
Maybe Ragnar's done the best email, but this is possibly the best fan.
Yeah, right.
So anyway, he's gone into his archive and found another interview which he sent me, Slammin' Taylor, with on a fan online fan event early in the year when we were about 3-6, and he predicted we'd finish 6th. So he sent that in, and he also did a bit of work for us, young John, which we'll get back to in the fourth.
Yeah, quarter. We will get to it. It's a very strong effort. OEG, have you met Slam Sam Octopus Taylor?
I think I have, yeah. Just I think once I met him in the rooms after a game. But I love Sam Taylor. He's like such
a
different guy for football. Yeah, well, now I'm thinking I should put some money on Tom Green to win the Brownlow in 2025. You know, like if he's calling that, well, maybe just start calling him up and asking him about, you know, what's going on in my future, you know, what role I'm going to try and get next or something like that. See if you can just sort of
I've got these scripts,
give me something to look forward to.
But maybe, what are you feeling for me?
Yeah, exactly, Sam. Come on. That kind of fits the mystical octopus that we don't know enough about, you know, that just loves it sitting in his little back 50 garden in the shade and just dominating, predicting the future. That's why he's such a good fullback, because he knows where the ball's going to go.
Exactly.
You know, he's in the future in a smaller gap. He's just all over it.
Rags, the Giants just given you an excellent steer for your next song, mate, about where Sam Taylor would like to be.
Exactly.
Octopus's garden.
Perhaps in the shade. Yeah, there's, I mean, there we go. I'll leave it with you.
Thanks, mate.
Sparrow, this is the Giants tweet that you were on, and also in Issues of the Week that you were referring to as a snapshot of actually what we all thought it was a pretty good year. This has been a cracking year, even without finals. Where are we compared to where we were?
Yeah, well, I thought as a good buy round first quarter issue, just a bit of a snapshot of where we are, where we've come from this year. One Eye Giant did put out a tweet last week, which I thought was a perfect little summary, which I thought
under his nom de plume.
I thought he could run through it for us.
Yeah, sure. Well, I tweeted just a quick recap of the GWS Giants 2023 home and away season after a tough 2022, which it was. It was brutal.
It was.
And I've just gone through a few things. I was sort of just musing, going, flicking through the internet, Googling Giants, seeing if there was anything new, and there wasn't. And so I just kind of went, look.
Then it was 2 a.m. You thought, I'll go to sleep.
Yeah, exactly. And I was going, okay, well, someone's got to put it out there. So here's what we've managed to do. We've made finals, which I didn't expect at all. We re-signed two of our young guns after losing, a few guns with Callahan, who I think, and Sam Taylor thinks is incredible. Green, the other Petrarca, I'm assuming, in that combination. Ash, who, I wasn't confident about. Buckley, who's been phenomenal. Riccardi, who has turned it on. And Xavier O'Halloran, who might be coming back in for a final. So that's your kind of young cohort of guys who's going to be that next tilt, right? So if we're aiming for 2026 premiership, which is I think where the list is sort of poised at, it's 2023, and that's going to be our core unit of guys plus Cadman. Then we got the big signature of Himmelberg, which was again, he had a lot of options and he's picked us.
Much to Ragnar's surprise. Can we just put in
a big reason he picked us?
Much to Ragnar's surprise.
Yeah.
Oh, we've signed XO. No, Himmelberg's gone. Ash's signed. Himmelberg's gone, then. That's what that means.
And the reason he stayed, let's face it, is because the new coach is an absolute jet.
Yeah.
If you think back to last year and we, the Giants sacked Leon and he left, and it was quite early. It was like round six or something. I think it was pretty early in the season. Yeah. They gave themselves the rest of that year with a caretaker coach to go through the process and do all that kind of stuff and get it right. While at the end of the year, you had like Essendon and who was the other club and the Saints that just sort of like picked these coaches, and North all kind of going for coaches, experienced coaches at the last minute. Well, I kind of thought that the way that they did that was pretty special, and it's kind of ended up with the best result. Briggs' emergence as a dominant ruck, which again, I was it's Flynn. Hell. Briggs is down here somewhere. I had no concept that he was actually good.
I saw him play. There was one game where he played as a second. Like he was in the same team with Flynn. We go, man, he's so mobile. He's pretty fucking good. I wonder if he's really, really good, but maybe Flynn must be better or whatever. But
yeah, I just thought he was too small. And then I saw him at an event. I was like, he's not.
Not too small.
He's just broad as well as big.
He's massive, and he just looks like a country boy.
Yeah.
Where Rags, it was actually against Richmond, and Ragnar described him as bench pressing. What's his
name? Curvis.
Yeah, he just bench pressed Nate.
He's kind of the perfect, like, slim down iteration of Mumford, who can actually, get the ball from time to time. Toby Green is still Toby Green,
really,
which is
Toby Green.
Fantastic. And then I sort of had Cogs, Kelly, Whitfield, and Green are all flying, which was, Cogs has had a tough couple of years, but this is probably statistically his best year. If you look at it, Kelly's flying and not injured, which is a dream. And Whitfield, sometimes you're kind of like, oh, has he lost his kick? But he's flying again. So, and it's pretty easy to watch football, the new game style. So I was kind of thinking this was going to take a couple of years And Sam Taylor knew it was only going to take 10 weeks. So, you know, I just thought I'd put a bit of positivity out there before a final, which, you know, they can go either way. But, yeah, that was my summary of the year.
That was a perfect snapshot. And, yeah, that was just a good stock take of where are we at, where have we come from. And, yeah, that was a perfect little summary.
Yeah, with Lockie Ash, there's probably pelters and that's fair enough, but we were allowed to sort of vote on your top three players for the year. And I actually put Ash at one, because, I see your eyebrows. You can't see mine, but, you know, mine are higher than yours, Rags. Pipe down. But hear me out, actually, because with this new wave, is it the new wave Giants tsunami? There's got to be something there. But I really, if Ash is coming off the back line, like that's what I identify very strongly with the new Giants forward stream is Ash coming off. He has found that role and bounces and goes. And if Ash is going well, we're going well. It feels like to me, and that's why, because I've identified him with this excellent year. So he sort of came is he going to be anything? And then suddenly he's everything. He's really important.
Mm. He's sort of a more aggressive aggressive defender that we kind of haven't seen since we had Williams and Wilson. You know, we've got a few guys that are a bit more Whitfield-like and Faye's coming through and he's going to look a bit more Whitfield-like. Cumming kind of has that. But Ash has that thing that Wilson and Williams used to do where they just bolt up the middle.
In the years back.
You know, and... Yeah, exactly. And, you know, sometimes he gets caught and sometimes his kicking's not amazing, but it's actually, I reckon he does more good than bad. I think you forget as well, like he's quite a young player. And we've just seen a lot of him because, you know, he was in the squad basically since we drafted him.
Mm.
Yeah. And can I just say, and Ash probably only re-signed because he saw what happened to Wilson and who was the other fella?
Williamson.
They just haven't played. I think Wilson's going to get delisted at the end of this year, and Williams has been perennially injured at Carlton. So
some might even say that there's a curse.
There is the halfback curse.
Well, it's everyone that leaves. Like, there's only a very small handful that have actually gone on to do well, leaving the Giants.
Mm. Jezza, pretty much.
Yeah. What's his face? Tom Lloyd won a flag and then left three games
Jacob Townsend.
Yeah.
That's only true. Yes. He was the one we were desperately devastated.
Shiel hasn't done it.
You'd have to argue Taylor Adams is the most.
True.
Decorated.
Jack Steele, maybe.
Extra. Yeah, true.
Trelaw's been to two grand finals.
Trelaw's good, yeah.
I always
thought the Toon Gabby taxi driver, fuck, what was his name? He went to Frio. He didn't play with us for a year. What was his name?
McCarthy.
Cam
McCarthy.
Fuck, he was good. I loved him playing for us. Just looked like straight off the street.
Yeah.
Goals.
He did the old, I'm just cross-legged sitting on the driveway. I'm not going anywhere. Yeah. I'm not playing.
Throw the toys out.
It was a bit like, we're one short. You're in the pub Friday night. We're going to, we'll just take him. We'll just drag him out. You're playing, mate.
But he was good. Surprisingly, he was a good kick.
Well, I mean, yeah, so perfectly. We've managed to, first quarter, we've got 4.5 minutes to go, which is good. So we've got 3 quarters to go. We'll whip through it pretty efficient. So, I mean,
this is how we
can
roll.
Stop now, or we can just all vent for a minute each about, like, pour the petrol on and watch it burn with Toby Snooze Bedford. If he goes down for what
we're riding.
He's done, then when I say I'll never watch football again, obviously I'm, you know, but that's what it feels like. But I will, and this week. But even still.
if there's ever grounds to boycott a sport, I think this is it. And if there's ever grounds to mobilise the Orange Army, this is it. And if there's ever grounds to riot down Parramatta Road all the way to the MCG / Tribunal's office, wherever they meet, this is it, because this is outrageous. Bedford copping a week for that I wouldn't even call it a hit. It was more like a pause, Fisher drops, hits his shoulder, and he goes down, like we said last week, like a tissue slash sack of spuds. Fair dinkum. If he misses a final for this, I'm with you, Needles. I'm boycotting at least till Saturday.
Yeah, exactly right. Probably 3:15. Yeah. And then I'm grudgingly.
Well, 3:20.
I talked to my lawyers.
I can watch the Keziah Pickett hit from earlier in the year where he launches himself like a rocket into this guy's jaw. And I went, so that was 2 weeks. And then you watch the Bedford one, you're like, I don't think, like, there's just nothing in it. That's just the most football. I was like, I don't think you'd get rubbed out of a basketball game for that.
Yeah. Look, old mate would have got done for charging.
Yeah, that's it.
He did. He braced. He stopped. He ran up, braced. Fisher actually drops his body height because he was a bit losing his footing. And I don't think he even hit his neck or head. So the whole fucking thing is.
And in the tribunal, you know, they brought Fisher forward and he said, you know, all the right things and, seemed to try to get Bedford off. Yeah, he did.
Yeah, and they hurt. I didn't even feel it. It was.
Yeah, they just threw it out. They just said, he's lying. He's not. We can't use that. You go, well, what was the point of having him there in the first place? So it'll be interesting to see how they go.
Well, yeah, because they set it up like a jury trial, and it's not a jury trial, which makes pitchforks and flames and petrol fine because this is not a democracy. So
exactly.
Riots are on.
Exactly, boys. So, yeah, let's mobilise the Orange Army starting at.
Who are you? You wanted to bake? I mean, get a bit early head start on Ragnar's bake. Didn't you want Ragnar to bake the QC?
Bake our lawyer, and you jumped in and defended him. But yeah,
don't know if we want to be making lawyers our enemies at this early stage in our podcast attempt to take over the world.
Not so much make him an enemy. Just lift. You got to lift. You had one job. You had one job. That was to spell out the obvious, and somehow you fucked it. Like, come on, Ben. You got a lift. Yeah. So I thought that could have been the point this week.
That was a little jab from Sparrow. I like it.
So we've wrapped up Toby Bedford, obviously innocent. I mean, actually, I would say he's had a hell of a fucking 10 days. If he gets off and then he finds out Thursday, that's not a great preparation from a psychological perspective, I wouldn't have thought, to go through the whole of last week, then wait for the tribunal, then get the appeal. In every other week, they have the whole process starts the Tuesday after the weekend. Why do we wait for a week?
Now, why the fuck are we waiting a week?
Or is this sort of perfectly set out to make him feel like he'd lost something, right? And then at the last second, he's gained something. Right. And all of it's done this rush of adrenaline. But we went, we need another week. We need another week just to kind of make him want it a little bit harder, you know, like really chasing that forward line, like really. Now you have something that you thought you'd lost forever. And that was your first finals berth. Now get out there, kid.
He's on 150% for the first quarter and a half. And it just has like a massive sugar crash.
And then just have him out for McMullen, you know? Like, it's all good.
Yeah, right. Or Xavier or XO.
Yeah, XO. Bring him back.
Hey, yeah,
That was a good fire-up speech. I could have ran out after that.
But speaking of people who may or may not be in the team, the injury updates, Sam Taylor,
the
Giants trolled us with really nice photos of two very good-looking units. Callahan and Taylor running around looking like they were fingers up.
Yeah, I just saw a little interview with Kingers on Fox Footy. He was basically saying Taylor's gone training at about 90% and has done, you know, he's gone pretty hard, but they're going to wait till Thursday's session to either rule him out or rule him in. So it's still not, he's still not a definite, but he's looking pretty good. But they're just not quite sure just yet. And I don't have any updates on Finn, but yeah, like you said, there were some juicy little photos and footage of him running around on the open training session on Saturday. So fingers crossed he's in, but I don't have any news on that.
I mean, it's a tough one, right? Sorry.
Okay. Sorry.
Sam, what are they just saying in Tassie, mate?
I was just saying, I mean, I'd take an octopus missing half a tentacle as well. So,
yeah, you're not wrong. I think Finn as well, it's hard because it's an Achilles, right? An Achilles injury or tightness. So it's going to be a lot of pain to run through that. But also we're playing a team with a lot of really quick wingers. So you kind of need him to be at full pace, unless you're going to play him through the middle. And then again, he hasn't played in, 6 weeks or so. So yeah, I don't know. They're two of my favorite players. So I'm kind of like, I want to see them play a final, but I also think, look, would I love Sam, obviously if we don't win this week, we don't play next week, but man, Sam Taylor would be pretty handy over there. And you don't want him, doing a full hammy and then having to go into the, off season like that. So,
and it's the age old story, like of every final, do you take the injured players in? And they always crack him and say, well, we'll take him in, and they're never good. Except Jeremy McGovern in the 2018 West Coast final, he had his liver was displaced or something like that, but he had a cracking game.
Yeah.
But we didn't get it right with Phil Davis or Lockie Whitfield in 2019. It very rarely works. Even in junior footy, local footy, it doesn't work, but you still do it anyway because just in case.
Yeah, and Sammy Taylor's, that explosive speed he needs, your hammies are pretty important for that. So
20 days for a nick in your hamstring doesn't seem like long enough to me. From my experience as a professional athlete.
The Dr. One-Eyed Giant. Yeah, Wolf, wow.
Line through.
Yeah, I was persuaded. Right.
Well, then you hear Kingsley say 90%, you go, he's good to go. 90%, you take, I don't think I'm ever at 90%.
I played a Masters game last 2 weeks ago and 12% and felt pretty good.
You're right. Sam already knows if he's going to play.
Exactly. So we'll just leave it to Sammy Taylor and he'll know what's happening. So
he already knows. Sam already knows.
He knows the result.
He's told Kingsley what he's going to do.
Yeah.
It's written.
Kingsley comes up to talk to him and he goes, I knew you were going to come and say something to me.
Can I vote at our next interview is Sammy Taylor? Because he's so good to listen to. Like he's refreshingly a bit unhinged and he's honest and he's random. Like just anything, the conversation could go anywhere.
I vote we have a segment each week called Sam Says, and we get him on for 2 minutes or 1 minute, and it's just an audio clip from him predicting something in the future.
What Sam sees. Sam sees.
What Sam sees.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, okay. Well, Alison, shouldn't be too difficult. You just sort of hold up the mobile and then send it to us and we're good to go. We will put it in. We'll think of the questions, what are going to be the global temperatures in 2070 to buy an electric car? Something like that.
You could use your powers for more than football. No, I don't think so. No, it's just football.
When will the Suns make a final before 2040? That'd be interesting.
No.
Third quarter. Right. Speaking of football, we did the preview of the game and who we're playing, but we are actually playing them this week.
Oh yeah.
The final no one ever thought we'd be at. We almost had it at the Beanstalk, but a couple of goals late on against Carlton sent it the other way. Sent it down to the MCG, which is
where we want it.
Fine for me. Yeah.
Even better.
So, Sparrow, someone wrote, any late news on the Saints? I have no late news on the Saints, except my mum is still very, very bullish about them and will let me know that it's my fault if the Saints lose. And may or may not have to come to Christmas. It's certainly going to be my choice if I make myself scarce. We got anything on the Saints?
Was that a question to me?
Anyone. They're pretty low key.
They are like, I was just listening to Ross the boss earlier. He's got me a little bit nervous. And the other thing about the Saints is, as you know, Needles, they're in the Essendon sort of mash for me. They're just, I don't rate them at all. I think they're just boxing well above their weight. And
I mean, one premiership in 127 years.
Yeah.
Like, it's a bit of a tell.
Facts. But he does, but that, sorry, where I was going with that is they do seem to beat us a lot. You know what I mean? They're like I used to think that game down in Hobart or Launceston was the bogey game. It's no longer the bogey game for us. We've started winning those ones. But I do feel like St Kilda are a bit of a bogey team for us. Whilst I don't rate them, I think they're pretty average. I do think they beat us more than they should. So I'm a little bit nervous. I won't lie to you.
I think we need to tag or heavily run with Sinclair. I think he ripped us up in the last game. They've got a couple of really good ball movers off halfback, but Sinclair is the one that tore us apart at the Beanstalk. So if XO is in, I'd be sending XO straight to him and going, hit him and then run off him, basically.
Pull his hair. Don't you dare let that guy.
Yeah. And I feel like XO is one of those players that if you give him a task like that, he'll do it. You know, like he's just got that kind of attitude. He's a little Sam Powell Pepper, you know, junior to me. Like he's got a bit of a wrecking ball about him. So my thought would be, just got to take care of Sinclair. I like our back line against their forward line. I like our forward line against their back line, and I like our mids. But I worry about Ross the boss cooking something up to just slow the game down. It's likely to be wet as well.
Is it? Oh, didn't know that.
Yeah, so the whole weekend looks like it's going to be wet, mostly on the Thursday and Friday night, but a Saturday, it's going to be, you know, low degrees and a bit of rain about.
Classic Melbourne.
Can I just...
I wouldn't have thought their sort of possession game probably it would be good for the wet, but, you know, we're sort of playing that scramble forward. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not as confident as you, Sparrow.
Can I just add a few things? As you said, they play a different style to us, so they're more of a kick mark type team. Having a look at the stats across here,
3.14159265358979
Saga of Ragnar Lothbrok.
Mathematics.
6264338327
They average more disposals than us, but they average like 20 more kicks than us, but we average 10 or so more handballs. We average more inside 50s. They average a lot more free kicks than us, so they're obviously very good at that. We got them in clearances. We got them in hitouts. We've got them in contested possessions. I can't see us losing.
Oh, God. That kind of talk makes me very nervous. Very nervous, boys.
No. You got to be like Jose Mourinho. It's like, we're favourites. We deserve to be favourites. Like, you just, you know, the universe doesn't care. Just like, boom. And we're both playing away because MCG isn't St Kilda's home ground. They play in Marvel. So there's not necessarily a home ground advantage. And they're not going to draw the biggest... It's not going to be a Carlton Collingwood kind of cauldron like atmosphere.
No, but it does look like there's about 70,000 tickets sold. So that's a few, you know.
That is quite a lot.
Speaking of which,
we are favorites.
Half of which I'm assuming will be in orange.
We are $1.72 favorites. They're $2.13, just for those punters out there.
Just for the gamblers.
Speaking of the crowd, Tab, if you want to sponsor us, we're more than open. Speaking of the crowd, who amongst the squinders here is going to the game?
Glad you asked.
Who's going?
I'm going. I'm going. Yeah, I went the morning after I woke up after we won the Carlton game. I woke up at about 7 a.m. and I was like, oh, you know, and then I saw they'd announced it and I just bought flights straight away. Yeah, no, I can't go the following weekend when we win. So I was like, I'm just gonna lock this in. Yeah, no, I won't get to see the Port Adelaide win.
That means you'll miss Lloydie's 100th.
Rough.
Rags.
But I'll just take the win.
Hey Rags, when we go to Port Adelaide to play Port Adelaide, have you got any digs for us over there?
Yeah.
An old caravan or something we
can hit me up.
Perch up in?
Nah, hit me up. I've got a place in town.
Nice. Just link up with the Here We Crow podcast people. I'm sure they've got a spare room for
it. Yes.
It's a little podcast kind of
Rags is from Adelaide. He's from Adelaide, living in Tasmania. So like, you just spread the wings. Well, absolutely. Yeah, Shay Lofbrot, Maison de Ragnar. There we go. Party Central.
Fire up the Suzuki.
Bang, straight in.
But I'll be watching obviously from the member stand.
Oh, where are you sitting?
In the MCC. I'm in the unallocated because I've decided I didn't want to buy tickets because what's the point of having an MCC membership that you never use? If you have to buy tickets. So I'm going to try. We're driving down. I'm getting Mrs. Needles up at 6 a.m. We're going to drive down from Canberra. All the squintlings in the back having a lovely time, presumably. We go past Gundagai, Tucker Box, and then Hardened Submarine. And then they're going to drop me off at the MCG. And I'm going to run in. And I'm going to reserve five seats. And hopefully that's the plan. But now you just said, I was thinking 50,000, there'd be plenty of room. If you're saying 70,000, that's my balloon of optimism has been slightly popped. Maybe
your avatar is still looking very positive.
Yeah, right. Well,
I think it might be my first time, you know. A good friend of mine got us tickets in the MCC as well, so it's my first time in there. So,
well, there's a dress code.
Might have to get some advice off you of where are the spots to sit.
I've got an orange. No, I never go. That's the thing about having an interstate MCC membership that you never use and spend shit tons of money on. And you go, well, I can't get rid of it because, you know, it's too valuable, and so you just spend money. But then most of the time, like for instance, it's a restricted one because you take. Everyone has to die before you get a full membership, I think. But, and you have to pay your house as well in terms of the loan.
Woman has to pass before.
Like restricted memberships are getting one ticket for the Carlton MC, Carlton Swans game, and also one ticket for the Collingwood Melbourne game. Like they are going to be absolutely rammed tomorrow night and the night after. But four tickets. That they were much more bullish or less bullish for Swans and Giants and St Kilda. So, you know, the only time I'm going to use it.
Well done. Good investment. Lovely.
Orange velour. I'm going with an orange velour tuxedo jacket if that's for. So look out for me. Hopefully I'll be.
And I did see the Giants have organised a live site in Parramatta, which is awesome to see. So for the squinters that can get down there, that will be at the Parramatta Square, Darcy Street and Macquarie Street in Parramatta. So events starting at 2:30 right through to the 6:30 after the game. So great to see the Giants have organised that. And a couple of prizes and stuff. So get down there if you're in the area and you can't get down to Melbourne.
Rags, which pub in Hobart won't be showing, so all of them, the match, do you think? So where are you going to be able to watch it? You're going to the casino again?
Back to
West Point?
Oh, shit. I'm in a bit of a quandary. I've got a tee off time on Saturday at 11 o'clock for golf.
Easy.
And so I've got to get around in 4 hours and 20 minutes. So I'm cutting. I might be watching the last might be playing the last couple of holes watching KO on my phone. I might have to take the ear pods and start putting, finish off my round. I really don't know where I'm going to be watching it. I might have to drop into the casino again, I reckon. That was good luck last time.
Cast down in Tassie.
Yeah.
What a classic.
Rest Point. It is.
Yeah, oh,
beautiful.
If you like storms. Yeah, good.
Yeah, I do like storms.
Actually, I think the live side, like the live center, is a great idea. That's well played by the Giants, and hopefully everyone in the West smashes it out, because that's going to add a little bit of atmosphere. And speaking of atmosphere, the fourth quarter, we're going to go back. This is player at all costs, Giants. So you can talk about whatever you want, you know, riffing.
Right.
We're going to go back to the email, the quote, best email we've ever received from a fan email, the Sparrow reference at the start.
I think probably the way to do this is to say to the listeners, if you're hungry this finals season, get on to fatmats.com.au. That's fatmatz.com.au. Fatmats beef jerky is authentic. It's, according to Needles, delicious.
Special. Comes in a tin.
It comes in a tin with Giants.
Brewed with Vegemite.
Giants labeling.
Straight out of Bungendore.
And apparently he's awesome. Anyway, the backstory to this is our good friend John. I've lost the run sheet, so help me out here, Needles. Yeah, John and son Luke. John and son Luke wrote to Fat Mats and said, look, these blokes that do a podcast for the GWS Giants has given you a plug, and I am buying your product because they have recommended you, which we fucking love, John. We love. That's how momentum builds. That's how we get supported eventually.
Yeah, for the first time. Yeah. Bye. We'll ask Sam Taylor, but maybe before 2050, ideally.
You know what I did think? Rather than chasing them, we could just review products. Like, we could actually buy Fat Mats' jerky and give it a genuine, authentic review. It may be good, it may be bad, but you know what we then become, Needles?
Yeah, free content giveaway.
Influencers.
Oh, right.
You guys have been influencers the whole time. Come on.
I want to hear the over the airwaves.
Oh, yeah. People love eating on podcasts. It's one of it's
this
sort
is
of
gonna be true,
an audio an audio feast.
Yeah. So we could take a different tact. But anyway, John, we loved it. And thank you very much. And thanks for sending in the audio of
But what happened, Ben, though, Taylor, which got you so excited, was that Fat Matt's beef jerky liked the squinters. Yeah. Which is, it's for us, that's as close to sponsorship as we've ever been, being liked by a company that makes a thing. So, you know, far out. Small steps.
It's
a process.
We're all ease, Capital Brewery.
Yeah, they got to get on board, surely. Sure,
well, actually,
it's time.
We've talked about the Squinters before, the Squinters Brewing Company. I wouldn't.
Oh, that's right.
Because, you know, maybe we'll get across. Maybe we'll be able to get Dr. Nangs out to Penrith to be our representative agent and make us a sweet deal. But them beers look sweet. They're all sold out, but there's some really interesting stuff there. Yeah. And I actually hope we get sponsors, so they send us the product.
Well, that's the post-season excursion. We've got to have our what do you call the end of season trip? What's the board meeting? What's it called?
Exit meeting.
Not exit meetings. help me out, Needles. AGM. AGM.
Invited me to a board.
We're having our AGM at the Squinters Brewery in Penrith. So,
yeah,
Rags.
Start very good. Well. And you'll be able to watch the notes in real time, because we'll put that up on Google as well, so people can watch it descend into name calling and abuse.
Yeah. Get your flags over.
The other
breaks.
One was Mark of the Year voted. That's a very good point. Harry's up there twice.
Yeah, it's difficult, because I actually went to do it and I was like torn, and I think this is going to happen for Harry, is there's such good marks and you can only obviously vote once unless you clear your cookies. And
what's your favorite?
Well,
two cookies.
I ended up going with the Adelaide one, because I just thought for pure
really,
yeah, I mean, I love. I mean, the Hawthorn one in Norwood was pretty amazing too. But
yeah,
this is what's going to happen. You know, he's going to get diluted, and all the Pies fans are going to vote for Ash Johnson.
Is it just purely fan voted?
Yeah.
No, it can't be that anymore. Isn't that how Joe Danaher won something and it was bullshit? And they said, "Oh, we can't actually just beat off."
I thought that's how they got them nominated, not how they actually got it. I'm not sure though.
Yeah, no. If that is the case, I'm writing a very terse email to someone to express some real tense disappointment.
Yeah, I actually don't know. I just said like I did. No, I don't know.
I've got a question. So I'm flying down to Melbourne on Friday morning, and because of that, I thought, you know, I'll get a ticket to see Carlton and Sydney play on Friday night. Now,
have you got one?
Yeah, I've got one. With a mate of mine. So yeah, a little footy festival for me. But I kind of am going because I'm not sure what's funnier or better for us, whether the Swans get knocked out straight away out of finals. Beautiful. A classic, some would say. Or 70 to 80,000 Carlton fans crying.
Crying Carlton people.
It's got to be.
On stream.
Because it's over the last 10 weeks, every part of footy media, podcasts, TV shows, radio, everything has just been Carlton. It's been Carlton.
It's true.
For them to go out in one game would just
be pretty special.
But the problem is that the Swans need to win for that to happen. And I don't like that either. Mm. So, you know, the Swans losing, I love it. As I said, a classic. I'll take it every year. But what that does do is mean you get Carlton Collingwood the next week, which I think will be epic. Fever pitch. In Melbourne, so
that'd be mega.
The narrative, the narrative for this final season really works for Carlton going deep. I think that would be a very good sort of storyline for this final series. It sort of works a bit like Collingwood last year.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what the scenario should be, which is ideal for us, going against the narrative that I just spoke about. Swannies do win, and you've got 70,000 crying Carlton supporters,
was it? And I think it might be Will Anderson who said Carlton have never been good since they found out you couldn't cheat.
So that happens. Swannies win. We also win, and I'm happy for the Swans to keep winning as long as we keep winning, and ideally we'd meet in the final.
Neutral venue.
I love your Friday of despair. It's just like a party of disappointment.
The one-eyed giant's waddling around the MCG, very happy, rubbing his hands for Saturday.
Hey. No, I'm an actor. I'm a performer. I watch people. You know, not only do I like their joy, but I love pain. Yeah. I love human pain.
The full spectrum.
And that's why I follow football. Exactly.
That's where the pathos is. That's where it is. It's where
you go. Another shout out.
Really sad for this part.
The orange agent of chaos.
Yeah,
that's what it was.
If you do get thirsty, Cooper's in. Is the Giants pub from memory down there? Great little spot. Cooper's in. Look it up.
Where is that?
In the city somewhere. I can't tell you the street, but Cooper's in. That's the pub I was thinking of last podcast.
That's where the sort of Melbourne Giants fans go, right?
Yeah. They've got a Giants.
I was talking to a mate. We're doing an escape room, but we sort of got distracted by the escape room and started talking about football on Friday. And he was like, he was in the Coopers Inn on the day of the grand final. He was thinking, man, we are fucking taking over this town. This is amazing. This place is rammed with Giants. Watch out, Melbourne. And then he started walking into the MCG. And was like, whoa,
whoa. Yeah, that's what it was like from the march.
Oh,
like my favorite part was the last quarter of the grand final when, you know, we were sitting up front quite close to the fence. And in the last quarter, in the second quarter, once they knew that they'd won, they started just moving down from the top seats down to the bottom and just basically pushing you out of the way so that they would have the spot to be as close to the players. And I was going, I'd never been to a grand final before. I was going, what is happening? And they just sort of, they all just start descending on these bottom steps. And I was going, yeah, this is enough. I'm going to get out of here. Shocking.
Yeah. Richmond. This is a new, oh, actually, there we go. The Cooper's Inn. It's on the corner of Exhibition Street and Little Lonsdale.
Oh, it's close.
You're welcome. Very close. Yeah. Cooper's Inn, you're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, very close to Chinatown as well. So, yeah, a little bit. And you're good as gold. Righto. This is a new section, which I've just seen being typed up, and it's not Ragnar's Bake. We'll need a new sting. Sparrow, it's Finals Tips with Rags in caps.
Finals Tips with important. Rags. Yeah, so I figured I've been a bit slack lately and I haven't written any songs lately. So I reckon we go around and
you haven't written a song.
We go around and
some people have standards.
We go around and we get tips from each of you. So I'm going to start with Sparrow. So I want your tip. I want your tip, Collingwood, Melbourne.
Collingwood, Melbourne. I'm going to go Melbourne.
Carlton, Sydney.
Yep, I want to see Carlton crying, so I'm going to go Sydney.
Okay. GWS, St Kilda.
GWS.
And Lions, Port.
Lions.
Needs, Melbourne, Collingwood.
Melbourne?
Yeah.
This is not on who I want. This is on who I think will.
Hmm.
Yeah. Carlton, Sydney.
Carlton.
Yeah.
Yeah. I should have changed it.
Saints, Giants.
How long should I do the theatrical pause before you throw me off the pod? Giants.
Yeah.
And based on, they don't score many, they don't let many goals through. We don't let many goals through, but we do sometimes kick goals, so that should be good. Brisbane. Port. Okay. Brisbane and Gabba. They've won 30 of their past 33. Like, that's pretty good.
Mm. OEG.
Yeah.
Melbourne, Collingwood.
I'm going to D boys.
Oh, three Melbournes. Wow. Carlton, Sydney.
I'm going Carlton. I think Carlton will win.
Yeah. Mm. Agreed.
You're going Giants.
I reckon Toby Green will outscore St Kilda.
I've tried to clap on this pod before, but the microphone doesn't pick up. But that is such a clappable comment. That is it right there.
You can do emojis.
And fucking get it on the internet right now.
Brisbane, Port.
This is tougher, I think. This is the toughest one. I know that I should tip Brisbane. But Port kind of, Brisbane like to choke in finals. We know this. Mm. They choke against us. I'm still going to pick Brisbane, but I wouldn't be surprised if Port win this. I wouldn't be surprised.
And Brisbane, I'm going to go. Splinter. I'm going to go Collingwood just to be different.
Yeah,
good. And Carlton.
Well, that's on brand.
Mm. And Giants. And I'm actually going Port. Everyone's talking about this is the easiest game of the round, and I have a funny feeling that Port are going to cause a big upset.
Is that the Saturday night? Surprise me.
And that was Finals Tips with Brad. Sparrow's SOS.
Basically, it's all in the theme of Bedford, the anger with Bedford. And I just thought Rags, not our Ragnar, but the other Rags on Twitter. His comment, joke of a decision, the AFL must publish the still footage that was used to uphold the decision. If it's not public, then it's not real because there is no transparency. Media needs to get AFL to explain how this is different from Rampy, McCartan and Cripps. And then he tagged GWS Giants and Fox Footy, and that was in reply to our tweet about the Bedford appeal. So, Rags, thanks, mate. You get featured on Sparrow's SOS.
Okay, perfect. And so, the very final bit is that I was very happy to see that a couple of people came into our, well, Sparrow doesn't think it's a very good email, neversurrenderpod@gmail.com, the original and the best of the Spooners emails addresses, if you ask me.
No, it's good. It just doesn't get changed.
We had one interview from a fan asking us to interview Lauren Markham, who I hadn't heard of, but apparently she does the ground announcing and she did some work on the Women's World Cup. Still know nothing about it. She seems like a very nice person. If she wants to talk to some people, then she's more than welcome. But we'll wait for her to reach out, Never Surrender Pod. But another one from... the Sockham guy, the social media guy for AFL Canada, right? America's hat. And he's, do we want to interview the bloke who set up the Sydney Giants? And like, Sydney Giants is on the far northwestern coast of Nova Scotia. Basically, the closest team they could play would be in Greenland, like the Nunavut Numbats or something. It is so Greenland. Far away. And has, hey, do you want to interview this guy? And like, we want to interview that guy. So thank you very much for reaching out. Canada, you go to AFL Canada, there's 70,000 people playing. They've got a competition in all of the provinces. It's, and you know, Mike Pike, famous Canadian, played Aussie rules for the Swans, but that's all right. So that, like, I wrote back apologising for writing back to, like, saying, hey, we'd love to do it. I haven't heard anything since. But if you're listening, we'd love to do it. Maybe right. After we win the grand final, just to provide us a bit of sort of summer content, because it'll be winter, obviously, in Canada. And presumably they play Aussie rules in Canada like we do. They played in winter, so they'll be playing in 10 foot of snow. The fires will have stopped. It'll be an excellent, excellent conversation. So thanks very much, AFL Canada. Looking forward to talking to that guy from the Sydney Giants. That's all. Is there any? Has anyone got any more for any more before we let ourselves go to bed?
I could, but I won't.
Excellent. What a tease.
What a tease. Just the tip.
Just the tip.
I tell you what, we'll patch it on to the end of this pod.
Oh, righto.
It's a special listener submitted tribute to one of the great Giants. So stay listening.
Wow. All right. You have been you're one of the gang, mate. Thank you very much. I really, really appreciate your effort. I will see you in the members on Saturday night. I look forward to
see
you.
Look for the little dog.
Yeah, look for the little dog in the green hoodie or the camp safari tour guide. Thank you very much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys. And I love listening. So, it's good. It's good to be on. And go Giants.
Awesome. Damn right. Well, actually, not go Giants. We've got a little bit, mate. Never surrender.
Never surrender.
Never surrender.
Never surrender.
Find ourselves in times of trouble. Here's a man who wins it clean. Busting through the pack, it's Tommy Green. Punching out a handball. Averages about 14. Hurt you around the ground, it's Tommy Green. Oh, Tom Green. Tom Green. Tom Green. Oh, Tom Green. Hurt you around the ground, yeah, it's Tom Green.
Release it quickly, Kinelio.
Just take the time, oh, it's Kinelio.
I'm getting it right, Stephen Kinelio.
Now there's a guy that they call Paul Roos. He's got it wrong since his debut. It's Kinelio.
I think Kinelio got packing on top of the game.
Next hardest working player, maybe Coniglio.
It might just be an oversight, but here's a chance to get it right. It's Coniglio.
And Coniglio said 13.
Kinelio for another.